mine and yours. And you don't want no pressure, what but a backup and withdrawal. Cause trust me when I tell you, you don't want that you can claw. And you don't want to see inside of my...
Chapter 3. The days began to fall into a pattern. Walk, find someone, anyone moderately friendly. Offer assistance, and keep asking until they reached someone who needed them. To heal, or just help carry firewood, or who knew what. Bargain for something in return. Sometimes coin, sometimes food, and sometimes odder things. Fishing hooks, Uncle Iroh murmured under his breath, as a grateful farmer beamed at his cow pig. Ask him to throw in some cord, and it's worth it, Zuko murmured back. Spear fishing like a water tribe brat might not be up his alley, but with a hook and line, he could get somewhere. Doing something useful, keeping out of trouble. People left you alone on the ship if you were fishing. That's Fire Nation steel. The hooks should last for a while. Not like Earth Kingdom iron. Lousy stuff. Swordsmiths forged their own steel, either with some of the better local ores, or sometimes from ingots imported from the Fire Nation. Outside of that, local iron... Well, there was a reason he could shatter it with a good heel strike. Uncle eyed him, curious, but set to bargaining the man out of a roll of cord as well, and was delighted to accept a small round of cheese, pressed on them by a relieved farm wife, who'd been looking at short milk rations with her oldest daughter's first baby on the way. It ought to keep while we travel, Zuko thought, making his farewell bows with Uncle and heading down the road. And some fish will go after anything. I'm surprised you agreed, nephew. Zuko rolled his eyes. Uncle, do you even know how much fish hooks cost? I've been paying attention to what you charge. We weren't cheated. Really? Really? Zuko hated shopping, at least as much as his uncle seemed to love it. Hated being where people could see and stare and whisper, but he hated being cheated more, which meant if he wanted to get it over with, he had to know exactly what he needed and how much it was worth. The walk was quiet for a while. Zuko focused on breathing, trying not to think of what they would do next. In and out. In and out. I did not expect you would be so willing to work with simple animals. Of course it couldn't last. It's easier to hide what we're doing, Zuko said shortly, which was worth cleaning off his boots, mostly. They'd found out the hard way that if he wanted to do anything more than just ease pain, he needed a fire to draw from. Using hot rocks or even just his own fire would work, but it left him dizzy and staggering, on his feet only through sheer will to keep moving, until Uncle found a spot for him to collapse for the night. No, if they wanted to keep this up, if they wanted to keep moving, keep alert, he had to have fire. And as long as their little fire pot stayed out of sight of curious eyes, animals didn't ask questions. True, Uncle allowed. But you were also kind to the creature, even when she tried to bite. She didn't like me. She didn't lie about it. Zuko shrugged, unwilling to look at that thought too closely. People are crazy. Some are, yes. Iroh frowned. I wonder if that is the case where we are going. Oh no. Oh no! We're not just going farther down the road. Well, we are. Zuko winced, waiting for the other boulder to drop. It seems our last client believes the source of his cowpig's illness is on our way. The Lu Yu Ranch. They appear to have been having trouble since the night the moon was eclipsed. Iroh frowned more deeply. I wonder. Definitely a boulder. Of the cliff-sized variety. Uncle, I don't want anything more to do with spirits. That does not mean they will have nothing to do with you, Prince Zuko. Right, Like the universe would ever be kind enough to just leave him alone. I don't have to go looking for them. That may be, Iroh allowed. Yet in this case, it may be better to find them before they find us. If Zhao unleashed more than he knew, those moments the world was out of balance, spirits do not always distinguish between mortals well. Simply being of the Fire Nation may be enough to rouse their wrath. Which is an even better reason to go the other way. Well, it could be nothing but a sickness, Iroh said easily. Indulge an old man's curiosity. Who knows? He chuckled, patting his stomach. We may get dinner out of it. Zuko sighed, trying to ignore his own rumbling hunger. They'd been getting by, but not exactly well. This is a bad idea. Not that it really mattered. He knew how the world worked. Turning his back on whatever this was, it'd be sneaking up on him in the middle of the night. Better to face it head on, and hope he could improvise better than he had at the North Pole. And nothing has changed in their food or water. Iroh tried not to scowl. He'd dealt with enough mounts in his time as a general to have a fair understanding of their afflictions. These black sores encrusting the hooves of the ranch's few cow pigs, and claws and legs of their ostrich horses, seemed unnatural. Have you brought in any new stock in the past months? Perhaps from river bottoms in the moister territory? First thing I thought of. Rancher Sho Lu Yu grumbled. Nah, there's been nothing. Unless it was just hanging around for 3 months waiting. After those Fire Nation bastards. Grim lips pressed together, cutting off his words. There was a raid? Iroh inquired, careful not to keep too close an eye on his nephew as the young man moved along the corral, letting the herd take his scent. Ironic that the blow Ozai had meant to shame his son forever shielded him here, so long as no one looked too closely. If they knew their beasts were ill, it would explain why they sought yours. Nothing explains that filth! Iroh did not react, watching out of the corner of his eye as Zuko stiffened, then walked on, heading into the stables to check on the sicker beasts. But it makes a lot more sense than a Kamui, the rancher allowed, healed welts visible across the corded muscles as he crossed his arms. I swear, as if our family would ever allow ourselves to be dishonored enough to lead to that. Well, what do you think? A malevolent Kamui, a plague spirit, would explain this all too well. And the healed marks of fingernails on the burly rancher's arms. Zuko was right. This was a bad idea. I can promise nothing, Iroh said reluctantly. We may be able to help those who are less ill. And after that, if it is possible, I would like to walk the land they have been pastured on. Perhaps we may find something. Uncle, not strident, not demanding. He hurried to the stables anyway, somehow all the more worried, and winced, seeing the poor wreck of a creature his nephew was dribbling water into, one beakful at a time. Black feathers, tattered and molted in the straw, ravaged legs and body. Nephew, she's still alive. Don't waste your time. Sho's fist struck one of the stable's supporting beams, raising dust. The rancher drew in a snarling breath, limping slightly. That's Asahi. She's Ping's favorite. My daughter. If she could stand, she'd be trying to rip your throat out, boy. She's been crazy ever since the girl went missing. Ever since the full moon went crazy. Our hopes for your daughter's safe return, Iroh said courteously. Really, what else could one say in the face of that glare? Is she the most ill? Worse that's still alive. Tough bloodline, I'll say that much for Yonaguni stock. Too small for hard work and a lousy temper. just like the damn firebenders, but they don't give up. A muscle in his jaw jumped, and dark eyes smoldered. Iroh regarded his handful of facts, and liked none of them. So, if she was one of the first to fall ill, where has she been? Spirits, that glare didn't look promising at all. Just over here, Juan pointed down the slope before them, where lush greenery and a liquid chuckle betrayed a hidden spring. One of Sho's older sons. He was almost as tall and burly, with a sour look on his face as he stamped his feet on the ground, obviously disgusted at actually having to walk somewhere. Hope this isn't the source. Some of the best water on the place here. Is that why Asahi was here? Zuko asked, all too aware of time slipping away like grains of sand. If they could just get back soon, then maybe... He stomped on Hope, trying not to think about it. Looking for water? Yeah, that's right. Liar. He wasn't even any good at it. Zuko glanced at his uncle. Do not let us keep you from your work, Iroh said generously. We can surely find our own way back. You do that, Juan said shortly. There should be something left for you. We are much obliged, Iroh smiled, which only lasted until the rancher was out of sight and out of earshot. Something is wrong here. Very wrong. Zuko frowned, unwilling to go any closer to what should be inviting water. It does feel wrong. Like the spirit's oasis, a little, but swampy. The energy of the world has been disrupted here. Iroh shook his head. Yet nothing seems tainted by human carelessness. He waved a hand. Let us spread out and search. If the spirits are disturbed, something should be visible. Search? Zuko fumed, after long minutes of fruitless efforts. I don't even know what I'm looking for. Rocks turned under his feet. Tired, hungry, and frustrated enough to spit sparks, he still had his balance. A skip back, and he avoided the unstable stones, if not the waft of decay that rolled out in their wake. Decay and... Iroh was there, holding him back. Come away, nephew. Come away. Zuko swallowed, unable to not look. It's Ping, isn't it? I'm afraid that it might be. Zuko's face was grave. We cannot be found here, nephew. No, that would be not good, especially since she hasn't been dead long enough for it to be the raid, has she? A month and a half, perhaps. Let's go. Iroh sighed. Well, now I know why there is an evil Kamui. A what? A plague spirit. Iroh led them away from the lonely cairn. They are drawn by many things, but the most certain way to attract them is the murder of one with child. But why would anyone... I fear I know, nephew. I fear I know. I will have to thank Madame Lin again later for the coal, Iroh thought, taking a moment away from his careful arrangement of salt-dipped cut thorn branches to watch his nephew work. The first few times Zuko had tried to heal had been, well, not quite disasters. His nephew had discipline when he was calm, even if it was shaken by disbelief that fire could ever heal, and stark terror that he could mend instead of destroy. He'd improved since, yes, but Iroh still had doubts anything could be done for Asahi. Such deep-rooted illness. I underestimated my nephew's stubbornness. Iroh chuckled at himself. I should know better. They will notice if you succeed, he'd warned his nephew earlier, voice light, with a grim amusement he hadn't felt in a very long time. Once a general, always a general, it seems.
Let them, Zuko had snarled. She bit him, Uncle. She was there.
Iroh had nodded, acknowledging that likely truth, and set to work in his fellow pasture, away from the main ranch, setting his Kamui trap and watching. Discipline, anger, and compassion. Iroh smiled to himself, watching his nephew call out veil after veil of fire, green flecked with warm gold. A leader needs them all. Asahi lay quiet and mostly calm, black feathers only ruffling now and again to show her dislike of open flames. Weak as she had been, Iroh still had to hold her down for the first pass. Yet now she lay relaxed and still, peering curiously at the boy who was taking the pain away.
Thank you, little one, Iroh thought gratefully. You help him more than you know.
Last thorns and stones in place, the old general straightened, looking over the outline of the spirit maze for any gaps not part of the pattern.
It may not even come.
Perhaps. But then again, his nephew was currently stealing one of its most stubborn victims right out from under its repulsive nose. It should at least be interested.
Which will not make my nephew pleased.
On the other hand, something the young man could fight might do him a world of good. And Kamui could be fought. They could be beaten. Whether there was a spirit or not, his nephew seemed to be expecting trouble. Zuko had already packed their gear for a midnight evacuation, which was likely wise, no matter what the night might bring. Iroh didn't think the Lu Yu family knew they had noticed, but as they'd made their way back to the ranch, Zuko had spied Juan riding off to town at twilight. It could be innocent, an important errand, a girlfriend, a request for a squad of soldiers. Perhaps Zuko's dire outlook on the world was contagious. Or perhaps, Iroh thought, seeing a shadow move towards them from the stables. It was simply his belated recognition that he couldn't depend on Zuko's younger ears in the midst of healing.
Nephew, someone is coming.
Almost done. Another wash of fire, and Zuko let the flames die, reaching out so Asahi could sniff still warm hands. He glanced towards the approaching woman, but kept his focus on the uncertain steed as she gained her feet.
How's that, girl? Shh, it's just me and Uncle, nothing to worry about.
Madam Lin?
Iroh nodded as the rancher's wife came towards them with a lidded basket and wide eyes.
Is that perhaps breakfast, that we need not trouble you when we take our leave?
She looked at his careful piles of thorns and stone, and Iroh knew she understood.
No, she said in a worn, worried voice, opened the lid and drew out dark clothing.
Fire thorns,
Iroh observed, catching the glint of wild silk embroidered in protective patterns, glossy wood brown along the edges of a fine green scarf, ruby rust on the hems and sleeve seams of a pine dark robe.
You must have been working on these for quite some time.
They were for Ping, Lin admitted. We'd been having so much ill luck since the raid. I just wanted to...
She swallowed and looked away.
I finished them a few days after she disappeared. If you're going to face the Kamui, please, they might help.
They may indeed,
Iroh said graciously, draping the scarf about his neck before he took Asahi's reins. Just as well for them that Earth Kingdom women tended to take after their men, taller and more solid than most of the Fire Nation. Hands on the robe, Zuko hesitated, obviously uneasy.
If you made this for your daughter...
Ping is beyond its aid now,
Iroh said with quiet compassion.
You are not.
Lin's gaze whipped to him, wide and wild and broken, with a terrible wonder as she finally recognized the fine black steed alive and well beside him.
Oh, Asagi.
She pressed a fist to her lips, eyes closed, voice thick with tears.
Are you spirits come to take your vengeance? Agni, let Zuko keep his head for once.
Iroh prayed.
If we are, you know what you have done.
He shook his head.
You knew she was not missing.
You don't understand. The break in her voice was awful to hear.
The town knew. They knew. It wasn't enough that we had to rebuild what burned, but my daughter.
Yes, she was your daughter. Zuko said angrily, clenched his fists, and shifted swords and sheath from hip to back, where the robe wouldn't interfere with his draw. Who cares what the town knew? You should have protected her.
I tried.
A desperate wail.
We thought it would pass, and then the rumors and the whispers, and no one would give us fair prices anymore, and Juan's marriage contract was going to fall through, and we were going to send her away, where she'd be safe, where no one would know. It was all arranged. She could have left in just a few days.
When the moon became as blood, and your husband decided he had no more use for pity,
Iroh said sternly.
I didn't know.
She fell to her knees, dripping tears.
I swear I didn't know.
You didn't not know. Zuko started, disgusted, paused, glancing warily into the night. It is near.
Build up the fire, Iroh ordered, grabbing a stem of thorns. Do not let it touch you.
Tear-soaked ground erupted, and he threw.
Ah! Salt! Salt!
A high, chittering voice, like the mole rat it resembled. If mole rats ever grew to the size of a man. Its fur was sleek and glossy gray, as if in perfect health, yet eaten away with the same sores that afflicted the ranch.
Stay back and protect Madam Lin, Iroh warned Zuko. I will deal with this creature.
Oh, will you, old fire?
Eyes like Azula's flames sneered at them all, one by one.
Old smoke, all your hope burned to ashes. Rotted willow, breaking in grief's storm. Oh, so tasty. And
a hissing laugh.
Little dragon, just barely hatched, and no wings to protect you.
I can protect myself, Zuko flared. But he held back, even without Iroh's raised hand to stop him. Lin was whimpering, too pale to scream, and Zuko would never be so heartless as to leave her unprotected. An Earth Kingdom woman, a peasant, and at least reluctant accomplice to murder, and the Prince of the Fire Nation offered her mercy.
I have one brother,
Zuko knew, quiet pride warming him.
The battle will be long and dark, and he may doubt himself, but he will never be yours again.
Leave, he warned the spirit in his next breath. You have no more place here. Ping's murder is known to those who will see justice done. Lin Lu Yu will denounce her husband to the law, and that poor girl will have the proper rights. Be gone.
Lin Lu Yu,
another hiss of a laugh.
Old smoke, old fool. Why would she when it's her word against theirs?
No, Lin gasped. My sons would never.
Oh, they will, Broken Willow. Your little plan meant they'd have to live with their shame. A dead sister is nothing. Hidden away, forgotten. A living child of fire to call them uncle. Ugh, Salt, you dare!
Iroh dipped thorny branches back into his pot of salted water, ready to sprinkle the beast again.
We know the truth, he said grimly, and there will be a reckoning. You have served your purpose. Your time in this world is past.
Silly smoke.
Teeth gleamed at him.
You are no earthbender. Your mage touches only the surface.
A blast of dust and the beast burrowed out of sight.
That I did not expect, Iroh thought worriedly. Where could it have...
The Kamui erupted under Zuko's feet, but the young prince was already moving, a leaping spin of steel that took him away from unstable ground and cost the swift little monster half its whiskers and one ulcerated toe. The scream knifed through the night, a caterwaul of rage and revenge. If the Lu Yus did not know something was amiss before, they know it now. Iroh blinked, catching a glint of fire. Zuko knew they had to stay hidden. He'd agreed not to bend unless the need was dire. He didn't. Spirit fire, invisible to ordinary sight. It glimmered around his nephew from sheer force of will, glinting off blades, blazing high on protective fire thorns. The sickly gray power of the Kamui tried to cling to steel, to climb and rot tempting flesh, and was burned away, vanquished. Hissing, the beast turned on Iroh, charged him, teeth and claws and flailing naked tail, vanished into the earth just ahead of Saltwater. "Where'd it go?" Zuko demanded, scanning the ground for movement. "It wishes to cause pain," Iroh said grimly, backing up to his nephew and the trembling woman. "But it is, at heart, a coward, and we can defend ourselves. Nephew, no!" Too late. Zuko had already swung onto Asahi's bare back and was racing for the ranch, just behind mocking laughter. "Don't know why I'm doing this. Thought my family was messed up, but these guys, they deserve whatever the Kamui's going to do." Only it wouldn't stop there. Zuko knew it. Already the animal plague was starting to spread off this ranch to innocents. If it got to people, not going to happen. Asahi moved like a dark wind. Ping must have loved her. "You tried to get away, didn't you, Ping? You fought him, your own father. I wish I was that brave." The ranchers were out and angry, lanterns and spears in hand. "You," Sho growled. "What are you doing on one of my mounts, thief?" "The Kamui, you moron," Zuko snapped, racing to track the telltale ripple of dirt. There, in front of them, too far for swords, the ground erupted. "Sorry, uncle." Zuko slashed the air, fire blazing out to smash the spirit away from its target. Asahi squawked in protest, hopping sideways. Which was just as well, as Sho's spear sliced through where they'd just been. "Firebender! Plague spirit, you rock-headed idiot!" Zuko twisted off of Asahi, blade sweeping out to intercept screaming teeth. "Do you really want to fight me instead of this?" From the number of spears jabbing his way, they really did. Time to stop being subtle. Earth was solid, rooted, stubborn. That's how they came at him. Spear points bristling like thorns, eyes wide and glazed as if they could ignore the malevolent spirit by sheer will. Solid, stubborn, predictable. He could see exactly how to slice, leaving them all defenseless. A sway of a waterbender's body, trapping his spearmen in ice. Zuko echoed that flow of memory, twisting away from jabs with inches to spare. Spears struck unnatural fur, bounced off, as if the spirit were made of steel. What the? "Die, little dragon!" The Kamui leapt for him, a whirlwind of teeth and claws and hate. But he'd fought the wind before. He'd fought the Avatar. This creature wasn't even close. "Don't let it touch you." One blade slashed fire at it to knock it back, its twin cut behind him, spearheads falling like iron hail. He somersaulted over the porch rail and brought a heel down, blazing fire onto dry wooden planks, searing through to intercept the spirit as it burrowed. Amazing how such an awful screech was music to his ears. A more human howl, followed by blistering curses. "Damn bitch hen!" Aw, Asahi had bitten the bastard again. Shame she'd missed his throat. Earth writhed under the hole, ringed by blazing timbers. The Kamui trying to burrow away. "No, you don't!"
Zuko yanked his arms up, feeding rage and pain and betrayal into flames already blazing. Fire roared, consuming wood like flash paper, whirling as he swept his arms across into a firestorm, drilling down, burning into the soil itself, consuming it in white-hot rage. This maze isn't just on the surface, spirit. The Kamui screech rose higher and higher, itching at his ears like the call of cricket mice, cut off with a sudden sense of absence. Filmy gray vapors rose from the flames and shredded away.
It is over, nephew.
Zuko staggered, painfully glad of the firm hand gripping his shoulder. Everything ached, and the world had an unsettling tendency to gray out at odd moments.
Uncle, are you all?
Groaning, ranchers were scattered on the ground behind him, like so many fallen leaves. At least one beheaded spear had been further shattered by an annoyed blade hand strike, and Asahi was standing over Sho, hissing. Hungry and exhausted, Zuko grinned. Uncle coughed into his fist, eyes ruefully amused.
I think, perhaps, it is best we go.
My house!
Swiftly,
Iroh added dryly. Zuko stepped back, finally taking in the blazing building. The ranch house was already crumbling into itself, flames vining out along attached fences, the very ground smoldering as fire crept through it. Wincing, Zuko lifted a hand.
Let it burn.
Zuko swallowed, sheathing his Tao.
Uncle, fire cleanses. If the town will not exact justice, I believe this should suffice.
Zuko grimaced, glancing down the road. Lanterns, torches, the glint of iron and steel.
They may not agree with you. Oh dear,
Uncle Iroh murmured. They're armed, Zuko thought. They're fresh, fresher than we are anyway, and we don't want to hurt anyone. Decided, he whistled. Asahi perked up her head and stalked over to them. Catching the reins, Zuko glanced at his uncle. Iroh eyed the ostrich horse, glanced at the semi-conscious ranchers, and the aghast Madame Lin, looked at the roaring flames, and sighed. Leaving his uncle to raid the stable for tack, Zuko ran for their supplies. Asahi saddled, Iroh wasn't far behind.
Where are we going, nephew?
Anywhere but here.
I should have been a little more specific.
He should have known better, really. They had hooks, line, bait. Of course they'd end up in a dry waste where water was scarce and fish was even scarcer. Not to mention a town full of scared civilians and a bunch of thugs masquerading as a home guard. At least Sela's stew had been filling. Though he really wasn't sure about the job he'd done on their barn roof. Didn't match the other shingles at all. But even Uncle had admitted it might be better to drop the traveling healer act for a few towns, just in case the Lu Yus had spread the word. No matter how hungry it left them. The robe was still wrapped up tightly in one of their saddlebags. Uncle insisted he hang on to it. For luck.
I hate luck.
Why, Uncle? Zuko asked now, as they rested in the grass to work out their next move. Not that there were that many directions to go from here that didn't end up in a desert. We all hit it, but they couldn't cut it. It doesn't make sense. Lying back, Iroh laughed softly.
I thought you did not wish to know more of the spirits, Prince Zuko.
I don't. Zuko insisted. And why are you calling me that? We're in the middle of nowhere.
Because it is important.
Iroh tapped his fingers together, choosing his words.
Many believe strong benders run in families. To a certain extent, this is true. Bending is a gift of the spirits. And those with strong spirits often raise strong children.
Zuko frowned and sat up. If that's true, why wipe out the air nomads? What was the point?
The point was to destroy the Avatar and remove the knowledge of airbending from the world, so the cycle would remain broken.
Iroh said gravely, rising to look him in the eye.
Unless a few sky bison have hidden themselves in the farthest mountains, they are gone. Any who might be born with the gift have no one to teach them.
He chuckled.
Though I have heard interesting stories of the Earth Kingdom refugees we saw at the Northern Air Temple.
I don't want to know! Iroh raised an eyebrow. Zuko glared and tried not to think. We saw them gliding, using the wind, that's all. If I know anything else, if Father knows, I might have to... No, not my problem. The Avatar is my problem. That's all.
He let his gaze slide aside, feeling oddly guilty.
So, what does bending have to do with swords?
It was not your swords that cut him, young prince. It was the strength of your technique. And of your will.
Iroh smiled at him.
I would not have risked dealing with a spirit bent on malice if I did not know we both had the strength to survive the encounter.
Zuko swallowed. I'm not strong.
Not like you. We must teach you more history, Iroh mused. Though finding the scrolls I seek outside the Fire Nation may be difficult. Even before Fire Lord Sozin, the Avatar could not be everywhere at once. People had to deal with some spirits on their own, and those benders with the strongest will, who could defend their people from evil, they often became great leaders, and their children after them. That is your heritage, Prince Zuko, and mine. No banishment, no decree, no shame, he reached out.
Zuko stiffened. With a sigh, Iroh let his hand fall.
None of that can change who you are, my nephew. You are strong. Here.
He tapped gently over his own heart.
Never forget that.
Never forget who you are. His mother's face, disappearing into the night after Azula had said those horrible lies. But Azula's stronger.
Azula is more skilled, Iroh said bluntly. The two are not the same. Azula could not even attempt what you are beginning to master.
Zuko glanced at Asahi, happily cropping grass, shrubs, and the occasional cricket mouse. Looked away.
Like that's really going to impress my father. The Fire Lord would not be pleased, Iroh admitted. My brother is a suspicious man. I understand why your mother did not bring her skill to his attention. You may not have time for my proverbs, nephew, but I think Ozai learned one too well. All medicines can be poisons.
The world crumbled. Mother could heal. Grandfather died. Everything I've done to protect you.
Zuko! Zuko!
Uncle's hands were on his shoulders, shaking him.
Agni, you are pale as death. What is it?
No. No, it can't be. Azula always lies, Zuko whispered.
It is best to assume so.
Iroh studied his face, eyes grave.
Nephew, tell me what is wrong.
Zuko swallowed.
Grandfather was old, wasn't he?
Almost 100,
Iroh acknowledged.
Though that is not always old for a strong bender. King Bumi of Omashu is at least a decade older, and still an earthbender to be reckoned with. Sozin himself lived over a century and a half, vibrant to the end. And my father seemed well before I left, but much can change in 2 years.
He frowned.
Zuko, tell me.
Zuko shook his head.
No, she wouldn't, but... She said, and I'm like her, and I'm like her. I don't hate her, please. Don't hate me.
Paling, Iroh let him go.
I'm going to be alone again. Like after Mom. I don't care if I deserve it. It hurts.
Zuko. Iroh's voice was calm. The sea before a storm.
Why would you believe your mother could do such a thing? It's my fault. You were 10.
Still that same ominous calm.
How could it ever be your fault? He was gonna kill me.
Zuko swallowed hard, closing his eyes. If he didn't look, he wouldn't see it. If he didn't look, he could just pretend his uncle didn't hate him. Just for a little longer.
That's what Azula said, but she always lies.
Please. There was a tremor in Iroh's voice that made him want to curl up and hide.
Start from the beginning.
Tell the truth. That's what Ping needed, wasn't it? Uncle's always looked after me. He should know.
He shouldn't have to stay with a monster.
Eyes shut, fists clenched, Zuko looked back into memory.
It started after we heard about Lu Ten. Father went to meet the Fire Lord. Azula wanted to hear what they said, so she pulled me behind a curtain to listen. Father, he said your line was ended, and he had heirs. He should be the next Fire Lord.
Zuko swallowed.
I don't know what happened next. Grandfather was mad. I was scared. I ran away.
Iroh sighed.
But Azula did not.
She came into my bedroom later. She said, Dad's gonna kill you.
Really, he is.
She said Fire Lord Azulon was angry. That he told our father he should know the pain of losing a firstborn.
Oh, Agni, Iroh whispered.
And then Mom came in and took her away, and she woke me up in the middle of the night, and I didn't even know how to say goodbye, and she was gone, and Grandfather was dead.
He wasn't going to cry. He wasn't.
Mom said, she did it to protect me. It's my fault.
Zuko. A wagon's rumble. Zuko shot to his feet, reaching for his blades. Sela. Face taut with an all too familiar fear.
You have to help.
Who? Us? You've got a whole town full of real Earth Kingdom neighbors to ask, lady. We're leaving.
It's Lee.
Of course it was. And of course they were the only other armed so-called citizens for miles.
What was wrong with these people? Didn't they realize that if you sent men off to war, you made damn sure the women knew how to defend themselves? How to defend their children?
Like Mother fought for me?
Ugh! How did he keep getting into these things?
You are a kind and gracious woman, Madam Sela, Iroh thought, calmly absconding with a length of chain from the blacksmith's forge, while his nephew provided a distracting spectacle to the watching townsfolk.
But I do wish you had come along just a few minutes later.
His nephew might have buried his pain under his determination to rescue the boy, but he still believed Iroh should hate him, and there had been no time to correct those awful fears. Now Zuko fought well, but he was alone. And while Iroh had no fear for the young prince against any number of ordinary thugs, to face both numbers and an earthbender without giving himself away, well, it might be difficult. But he is not alone. The earthbender's hammer lifted for a mighty blow, chain whirling over his head, Iroh threw and yanked.
It never ceases to amaze me how many benders fail to train with anything more than their arms.
Zuko's spinning kick caught the earthbender under the chin, and the man crumpled like a wilted flower. Smiling in satisfaction, Iroh cut that troublemaking young scamp Lee free.
Boo! Cheater!
Delivering one gap-toothed boy into Sela's anxious arms, Iroh turned toward the mob, incredulous. Surely these people were not about to turn on his nephew simply because...
What do you think you'd do against our guards in a fair fight, pretty boy?
The closest thing this town had to a village elder,
who'd been all too quick to bow to the guard while they were standing. For an instant, Iroh admired his nephew's self-control. Not a flicker of flame or breath of steam to be seen. Amazing, given he himself felt more than inclined to turn back the wheel of time a decade and start setting strategic points on fire. Enough of that. If you are depending on warriors who can only win in a fair fight, Iroh declared, pitching his voice to Kerry, then you are all doomed. The Fire Nation has no interest in fighting fair. No good general was. A fair fight meant a chance you would lose. And then all your dead haunted you for nothing. Reaching his nephew's side, Iroh smiled ruefully. Some days, he said, voice low, one can only make a strategic retreat. Zuko stared at him, stunned. Disbelief, incredulity, hope, flickering in gold eyes like the embers of burning joss sticks. Mounted double, they left the catcalls and anger behind. I do not hate Lady Ursa. Reins in hand, Zuko stiffened, forced himself to relax. He was your father. True, Iroh allowed, heartsick. But no father should ask what he asked of his son, and no son should ever grant such a horrible request. He sighed. I hope my father meant only a line adoption, to give you to me as an heir in Luten's place. But it would seem your father, at least, thought otherwise. That, or Ozai simply could not live with the insult of being passed over as heir for a boy he thought weak and useless, and had decided to rid himself of the shame. Directly. Suddenly, that horrible Agnikai made far too much sense. How long have you wished him dead, brother? How long? But past was past, and Zuko already carried enough pain. I think of what I would have done had the Fire Lord asked me to harm Luten, Iroh said soberly. And though I feel pain and grief, I do not blame your mother. Your death, or Fire Lord Azulon's, or her flight, those were her choices. And brave and cunning as she was, I do not think she would have survived fleeing the very heart of the Fire Nation with you at her side. Ozai would have hunted you down. Both of you. Iroh swallowed the anger, if he could not hide the grief. I do not hate her nephew, and I do not hate you. Zuko glanced behind him, checking for any pursuit. So far, there was none. The villagers content to have merely run trouble out of town. Azula... Yes? Never mind. Such poisonous words are like knives in the dark, nephew. Iroh stated gravely. Force them into the light, and they have lost the advantage. Zuko swallowed and drew Asahi to a halt, dismounted, checking her feet quickly, and started walking, leading the black hen. She'd quote that proverb a lot and look at me. All medicines are poisons. Yes, he could see it, Agni help him. You believe she knew of Lady Ursa's skill? She's Azula. Zuko's hands fisted on the reins. She'd do things, leave them bleeding, and I couldn't... He shook his head violently. At least she got bored with that, after a while. Oh, Zuko... His nephew was not a fool. Try to heal and mark himself a traitor, as he knew Ursa would have been marked. Try and fail as a young firebender with no one to correct such a delicate technique would have failed. It is not a wonder he feared to try, that he fought the fear when I asked him and when Asahi needed him. Ozai, you are a fool. Why did you not tell me? Who was going to stop her? Zuko said bitterly. She's She has a pattern. She starts on something and she keeps doing it more and more until you blow up. And then she does it even more. But if you can act like it doesn't matter, like you don't care, sometimes she gets bored. He swallowed. I'm not good at keeping still, acting like I don't care. I should be better. You fooled most of your crews for 3 years, Iroh thought wryly. Do you remember the storm? I believe your men prefer the prince who honestly risks their lives rather than a ruler who executes those who hesitate at her whims. That earned him a troubled glance back, before his nephew's jaw clenched, silent. Iroh hid a smile. Certainly a prince commanded by right. But if your men followed you out of their own will, as well as duty, that was a tie not lightly broken. Not among their people, at least. And I do not doubt that is part of what Firelord Sozin played on, to lead us to destroy the Air Nomads. We of the Fire Nation are loyal to the death. And when the Airbenders would change their minds and shift, as history says was their way, those of us who might have counted them as friends would have felt betrayed. And unearned betrayal drove his people to desperate acts. If history had not sufficed to teach him that, 3 years on his nephew's quest had driven the point home to the heart. Do you think she suffered? Zuko's face was set, and he would not look back. I've heard some people hang on for days before. Heard indeed. How Azula had used that to prey on his nephew's mind. Perhaps he was better off not knowing. If she had died that way, there are limits to what my brother could conceal. Zuko did look at him, then, grim and hurting. She betrayed the Fire Lord. If she did, she did so as your mother. Iroh said bluntly. Her loyalty is to her children, her husband, and her family. So it has been since the first firebenders earned their skill under dragon's wings. So it will be until the nations are no more. To kill her own beloved father? Yes, that betrayal would have wounded her spirit to the grave. But Fire Lord Azulon, it is quite possible that she survived. Then where is she? If I knew, my nephew, I would help you find her. Because she is your mother, and so holds her own claim on you. Though I would not do so without your help. For my sake, as well as hers. I do not think I would be gentle, asking about that night. And about why she left you behind. Maybe you're wrong, Zuko said quietly. Maybe she was loyal. He stared down the road, seeing nothing. Have you seen someone die like that? In war, anyone's loyalty may be strained past bearing, Iroh admitted. I have seen traitors' deaths, and they are not pleasant. If my aid had not nursed me and kept silent, well. So how can she post those lies, calling you a traitor? Zuko said fiercely. You're the Fire Lord's brother. You'd be... He cut himself off, with a breath of irritated steam. But Sho killed Ping, and she was his daughter. How could he... I've seen these people, and sometimes they act like decent people, like Sela, but others? Other nations are not bound as we are, Iroh acknowledged, and they do not risk their lives when those bonds are broken. So if Azula posts a reward for traitors, they'll believe it. Zuko muttered something under his breath, almost too low to hear. Iroh stifled a rueful laugh in a deliberate cough. 3 years aboard ship might have been good for his nephew's spirit, but they had wreaked unholy havoc on a prince's vocabulary. Perhaps he will listen now, if I am subtle. It is not impossible. We have been gone for some time. It is likely Fire Lord Ozai has considered that any illness of mine,
or yours, might have been hidden by our crew. They haven't! No, worse luck. And while it is rare, some firebenders have survived. General Zhang Zhang, his nephew nodded grimly. I know of others. Carefully. Sometimes when you are trapped by two bonds, one must break. From need, from fear, from finding one's loyalty was gifted to one not worthy of it, and you must take it back. Listen to me, nephew. Listen and heed. I know where my loyalties are. As do I, Prince Zuko. Unfortunately. Patience, the elderly general reminded himself, as he had for years. Fire wishes to burn through the enemy, but you must be like water, wearing away stone. Easy enough to tell himself years ago, when searching for the Avatar had been a fruitless quest. With the airbender returned and Sozin's comet on its way, things were beginning to become difficult. At least we have not seen the bison since the North Pole. Zuko stopped, stiffened, dropped to one knee to study the road. Stood with a tuft of familiar fur. If there had been a spirit in front of them, Iroh would have set it on fire.